For our scripture reading tonight, let us turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 11, and we will read the first 13 verses. Luke chapter 11, the verses 1 through 13. And there we read God's holy word. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how many much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon for tonight is found in the portion we read, Luke chapter 11, the verses 5 through 8. The verses 5 through 8, the parable about a friend at midnight. There we read the text of the sermon, and he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Beloved congregation, we cannot do anything without God's blessing. All depends on the Lord's blessing. That is what we confess. And therefore we are united in prayer tonight. It's our annual prayer day. That does not mean that one prayer for the Lord's blessing upon crops, industry and labor is sufficient for the whole year. No, on this day we humble ourselves before the Lord and confess as congregation that we totally depend on the Lord's gracious dealing with us, our churches and our country. And all our labors are in vain if the Lord does not give his blessing upon it. We just sang, Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards are useless, watch maintain. In Scripture, we find more teaching about prayer or examples of prayer. Tonight, we want to listen to the parable of the friend at night. Or should we call him the importunate friend? Or maybe we should call him the impudent friend? We will listen to this parable under the theme, God's heart to our prayer. God's heart to our prayer, our need for His blessing, and His heart to needy people. The Lord Jesus has instructed His disciples about the basic content of prayer after they had come to Him with the urgent request, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples were in need of prayer instruction. Maybe this surprises you. These men were probably older than the age of 20 years. Do you think they had never prayed before? Of course, they had. And their parents had certainly taught them a morning and evening prayer. And I hope that our children also know what, how, and when to pray because their parents have taught them. And yet, since the disciples followed their master, they have seen the Lord Jesus praying daily several times, earnestly, reverently, and ceaselessly. And they felt their shortcomings in prayer. And therefore they asked the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. They asked the question to the right person. Who can provide prayer instruction better than the Lord Jesus? He answers His disciples by teaching them a prayer, the prayer we are used to calling the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that teaches us what God-honoring prayer is comprised of. It's an example for us to imitate in our own prayers. We all are called to pray. We must pray. There's no Christian life, true spiritual life, without prayer. And when we study the content of the Lord's Prayer, we can discover why. This prayer displays to us what we are. Weak, in need of care, but also sinful and inclined to all evil. Actually, prayer is a weapon that needs to be taken into spiritual battle every day. We are in need of the Lord's grace, of the Lord's blessing. Prayer is a most vital for the maintaining of spiritual life. The Lord Jesus does not only give us the Lord's Prayer, since it is not enough if we know what to pray. We also need to know how to pray. You say, we need to pray with an upright heart, a heart that is made honest before the Lord, a heart that is desirous to pray to God's honor and glory. Yes, that's true. But how then should we pray? And that question is answered by the Lord Jesus in our text. The Lord Jesus shows us how boldly we should ask for all we need. This is not a condition for prayer, but a warm and hearty invitation to pray. Because the Lord is most willing to answer prayer. We need this teaching, since by nature we are so slow to pray. That's because of our sinful heart. By nature, we want to be independent. That is how sin started in paradise. We need to be healed from this terrible disease. And even when we love the Lord, and that is what you desire above all when you get a new heart, even then we can so easily have no expectation from the Lord when pouring out our hearts. It's quite a lesson to lose everything, to leave everything to the Lord, to bring all our needs to Him, expecting the Lord's help. And this should induce us to humble ourselves before the Lord. We don't pray as we ought. And it's a miracle of grace that it still pleases the Lord to teach us to pray. We may pray to the Lord as often as we want. We may come to Him in prayer with boldness. We may even expect that He hears prayer. And He encourages us to make supplication for everything that He has given us a promise for. We read in the verses 9 through 10, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And the Lord uses three different verbs when it comes to prayer: ask, seek, and knock. And thereafter He gives three assurances: those who ask shall receive, and all who seek shall find, and all who knock it shall be opened. And in the parable we are studying tonight, the Lord Jesus teaches that God eagerly hears. He encourages you to pray. Why? Because the Lord has so much pleasure in providing our needs. That's what we need to keep in mind while we are listening to this parable. The parable teaches us why we should bring all our needs to the Lord. The parable explains what is in the heart of God. It pictures to us God's readiness to answer prayer. What is the parable about? It's about a man that receives a guest in the middle of the night. A friend of his who had made a very long journey and arrived at his place exhausted and hungry. And it's obvious that he did not expect his friend, since he had not made any necessary preparation for his arrival. He cannot serve his friend with even basic food such as bread, let alone that he has prepared a complete meal, something that was common to do for a friend who came from afar off. And the situation pictured in this parable is not strange in itself. It happened more often in those days that friends and acquaintances would come over unexpectedly. A friend who was on a business trip and who needed a place to stay over for a night. Well, what do you do when you are on a journey and you need to stay somewhere overnight? If you have a friend living in that place, then of course you try to see whether he has a bed for you to sleep and some food to eat. Well, this man counts on his friend's hospitality to receive him in his house and to serve him even at midnight. And as you know, hospitality was highly valued in the ancient Middle East. When a guest arrived, especially a friend, the host had a holy obligation to provide a bountiful meal. Hospitality was in Israel's genes, so to speak. Think of Abraham receiving the Lord and the two angels. He provided the fatted calf for these visitors. And so the story goes. A man received an unexpected friend at his place. And yet the man is startled. He desires to offer his friend all the gestures that belong to the welcoming of a friend from far off. But the problem is that he has no food in stock. Maybe he had given the last loaf of bread to his children that night. He cannot even offer the most basic food, which is bread. Bread was not only food, but to use for dipping and supping. Bread was the fork and spoon with which the meal was eaten. What to do? He doesn't want to put his friend to shame. Instead, he eagerly wants to offer his friend hospitality. He wants to show compassion to his friend, but he cannot do this on his own. He needs help from someone else. He is dependent on the willingness of someone else to help him out so that he can show hospitality to his friend. And he decided to seek help with a nearby friend who lived a few houses over. And though the hour is so late, this does not prevent him from seeking help with another friend. He doesn't mind that he cannot go to bed for the next few hours. He doesn't worry about the inconvenient time to seek help. That his friend is already asleep does not make him cautious of seeking help. He counts on his friend. He has confidence in his friend. And he believes that his friend will not put him to shame. How does he know? Well, because it's his friend. And he knows him as the one who is willing to help out if he is in need. He knows that even if he comes at midnight, the door will be open to him. And let us pause here for a minute and pay attention to a few lessons we can learn from this parable. First of all, that it is a blessing if you have such a friend, someone you can trust and to whom you can be honest with, someone who will support you when you are in need, someone you know of that you can call even when it is midnight. It's important to have friends. Though it is not most important, it matters. Scripture also speaks about having friends. Think of David and Jonathan, who were very close friends, who were able to open up their hearts to each other. If you have a good friend, then thank the Lord for it. If you don't have such a friend, then you may pray for it. And yet we should also realize that not everyone has a friend. And maybe you can think of someone who is lonely, and you can be a friend to that person. Friendship commences when you give, when you are available for someone else, when you open your heart to someone else. And yet having an earthly friend is not the most important thing in this lifetime. If you would have many good friends, but you don't have God as your friend, then you are still lonely and miserable. Having God as your friend. Is it appropriate to say this? Well, I wouldn't dare to if God did not reveal himself as a friend of his people. For instance, we read in James 2, verse 23, that about Abraham, and he was called the friend of God. And what about the Lord Jesus himself? He is called a friend of publicans and sinners. I know that was said by his enemies, but it was true. God offers his friendship to us. What a miracle of grace. The holy and majestic God stoops to poor sinners who by nature are his enemies. This is God's condescending goodness. He has taken the initiative, as he always does, since he is God. He offers to rebels his friendship and maintains it because of his faithfulness. And by his Spirit, he works in the hearts of sinners and causes them to repent and believe in him. Do you know God as your friend? If by God's grace you know God as your friend, then you know the fight against your enmity toward him. He fills your heart with his love, and then you become an enemy of sin. Then you repent from sin to God, and by the work of the Spirit, He transforms you by renewing your mind, heart, and will. How can God become your friend? Well, only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was regarded by God as His enemy when He hung on the cross. That's the gospel of grace. The Lord Jesus is God's only begotten Son. That's more than to be a friend of God. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. And yet, He was sent to this hostile world to be the propitiation for our sin. He is the mediator between God and man. And what did He sacrifice to make friendship between God and His people? He suffered and died on the cursed cross. He suffered hellish agony, and He was forsaken by His Father. God was not even a friend to Him, but deals with Him as His cursed enemy. He has satisfied God's justice so that God can become your friend. And in Christ Jesus, God offers you His friendship. And apart from Christ, it is not possible to become right with God again. But in Christ Jesus, God calls you His friend. Oh, if you don't know God as your friend, then seek the Lord. Why do you continue life impenitently? Become honest before the Lord. Bow to Him and confess your sin, because it pleases Him to look upon sinners in mercy. And He will never put you to shame. He promises to give salvation every time you call upon His name. He will provide in your need by fulfilling His covenant promises. And that is what we learn from this parable when we listen further. Because what occurs? The man arrives at his friend's home and knocks on the door. Friend, my dear friend, please open to me. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And imagine what happens inside that house. The friend who is called is sleeping. He hears some stumbling. What's that? Someone is knocking at the door. Someone outside is asking for his attention. Who is here at midnight? Who comes here disturbing his sleep? And then he hears the man outside imploring, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Does he hear that right? Someone needs bread at midnight? This is very unusual time to eat. It's not time to eat, but to sleep. And yet he hears that it is not a stranger who is calling him. He recognizes the voice. It's his friend. Now he also hears his friend explaining why he calls him out of bed in this late hour. Verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And what's the initial response of the man? It might be a good reason, but it does not take away that the hour of asking is very inconvenient. The Lord Jesus asked the hypothetical question whether the man would answer, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. There are all kinds of reasons not to honor the friend's request. The door is already locked, and it's a bit difficult to go out of bed without awakening the rest of the family. You should understand that in those days, the whole family slept in the same room. The houses were not as big as ours. And if the man rises up from bed, then he cannot open the door without disturbing the sleep of the rest of the family. It can be very difficult to get a child to sleep, let alone a whole family that is disturbed by a midnight friend. So the initial response is that he's not willing to open the door, but to turn over on the other side and continue his sleep. And yet that is not the parable, that is not how the parable goes. The Lord Jesus points to a noteworthy detail. The midnight friend does not call his name, but addresses his relationship. Friend. You are my friend, you know. You have never put me to shame. I know I can always count on you. You have helped me out in the past. I trust you will do now as well. The man appeals to their relationship. You are my friend. And the Lord Jesus wants to give us prayer instruction with this parable. He teaches us how God's people are allowed to make supplications. This is what we are privileged to do. And all those who know the Lord by faith are allowed to plead their relationship with the Lord. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place through all the ages of our race, before the mountains had their birth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth. From everlasting thou art God, to everlasting our abode. We may call upon the name of the Lord, pleading the friendship he has offered to us. We may pour out our hearts, appealing to his faithfulness and fatherly goodness. You may plead his covenant promises, since he has promised that he is willing to be your covenant God. Though much testifies against you, you have no merits, you have forfeited all. But when the Holy Spirit makes you honest, you will confess, I can offer thee nothing but guilt. And yet you may plead with the Lord, thou art the covenant God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who pleases to answer sinners. Will thou open to me? Will thou hear me? Will thou answer me? And you may bring all your needs to him, both your temporal and spiritual needs. And the Lord will not put any to shame who plead his covenant name. But we also hear important instruction about the content of the prayer which this midnight friend utters. By coming to his friend, he expresses his need. And what appears? That his condition is not a selfish one. No, he's pleading for a friend that has come to his place, and since he cannot offer the necessary hospitality, he comes to his friend, expressing his dependence on him. And he expresses his need by telling his friend what he lacks. What? He says, I have nothing to set before him. I have nothing. He honestly tells his friend that he cannot be for his visitor what he wants to be. And at the same time, he says, I trust that what I cannot be to my visitor, you can be to me. I cannot help my friend at home, but I trust you can help me in my need. He cannot fulfill his responsibility. He cannot be what he ought to be. And he confesses his shortcomings. I have nothing. But I trust you have everything. Is this how you pray? How do you come before the Lord? Do you present the Lord a list of desires, a list of needs? Or do you also humble yourself before the Lord? And do you honestly confess, the reason I come to thee is because I have nothing? I am poor. I am powerless. I fall short of all thy commandments. But I believe that thou art able and willing to provide. I believe that thou hast power to deliver, and that there is mercy with thee for the chief of sinners. I need thy grace to repent. I need thy grace to obey and to put my trust in thee alone. And this we learn by the work of the Spirit. We learn to express our need before the Lord, expecting Him to answer, since He is faithful. And then, how does the parable end? You say, the man in house answers his friend's supplication. He goes out of his bed at risk that the whole family wakes up. And he takes 3 loaves and gives them to his friend. And you conclude, that is what the Lord is, gracious and good. He cannot allow people calling upon his name, pleading the covenant, and not help them. That's true. The man received what he asked for, but that's not the climax of the parable. The Lord Jesus wants to teach us what is in God's heart when we pray to Him, humbling ourselves before Him. The Lord gives us insight in God's heart. The Lord Jesus says, imagine that the friend in bed was not willing to open the door for his friend, even though he is his friend. Yet this man would open the door. Why then? Again, not because he was his friend. Not because his friend had pleaded desperately. Not because his friend outside moved him to compassion. No, the Lord Jesus points to the friend's plight. He says, even if he would not open the door for his friend and give what he needs because of the friendship, he will open the door because of his friend's importunity, says verse 8. Importunity. What's that? That means making persistent and pressing requests. Yet, the Greek word used here can maybe be better translated as impudence. The man is overconfident. It is to be shamelessly presumptuous. Yes, there is a form of presumption that is very legitimate and biblical. A presumption that God will not put to shame all who call upon His name. Not because we may presume that God will hear our prayer as a rational conclusion. No, we are allowed to be shamelessly presumptuous when it comes to bringing our need to God. And that is what faith does. The man who hears his friend pleading and appealing to their friendship is touched by his friend's boldness, by which he comes to him, presuming that he is willing to help him out. He considers, my friend came to my home at midnight, since he believed that I would help him out. And when he realizes the boldness and courage he had to come to his place, he becomes so delightfully pleased. He gets out of his bed and slides the latches off the door and swings the door open for his friend. And everyone in the room, in his room, wakes up. Everyone lost his sleep, but that does not matter. In the heart of this man is joy, since his friend has so much faith in him. And we imagine that he responds, friend, tell me what you need, and I will give it you. Verse 8 says, and he gave him as many as he needeth. As many as he needeth. That was more than only three loaves. He's very gracious to his friend and provides in abundance. Well, says the Lord Jesus, that is what my Father is. This is the way God acts. Those who pour out their heart before the Lord with great expectation will not be sent away either. The higher thoughts and expectation you have of the Lord, the more you will experience, the Lord hears my prayer. It is not in vain to bring my desperate need to Him. Access to the throne of grace is always open. We never knock at the door at an inconvenient hour, since it pleases the Lord to find His people at His feet, expecting all from Him. And if we have learned by the grace of the Lord to have high expectation from Him, then we will be found in prayer often, not so now and then, since we realize that we are in need of the Lord's help continually. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And among other things, this means that we should pray with ceaseless expectation. Why? Because God is good. The Lord does not only give us prayer and teach us how to pray, He also teaches us to make supplication with boldness. The Lord opens up His heart in this parable. This is what I am. It pleases me when a sinner who has nothing to offer comes to my throne of grace for help. He knows that he cannot expect any good from you. He will listen to all those who must make a confession, like the friend in the parable, I have nothing. And the Lord reveals His good will, though you have nothing. I have all you need. Is this how you come to the throne of grace? Or do you suspect the Lord of being not willing to answer your prayer, since this is what you experience? Maybe it's your fearful question. Does the Lord really hear? Well, in this parable, He reveals His good pleasure. I have pleasure to provide to those who have nothing, who cannot offer anything, but who can do nothing but lean hard on me, having expectation of me. There's only one address for your need. To whom else shall we go? The Lord guarantees that He shall provide according to His promises. Have you learned to seek the Lord with expectation? Maybe you say, you don't know very well what to pray. You don't know how to express your need. Well, the Lord doesn't expect you to use eloquent words. Maybe you can only sigh. Maybe you can only say, I have nothing. What matters is that the Lord has all. What? Forgiveness of sin, peace for your heart, eternal life. But He will also provide your daily need. Oh, the Lord does not give everything we think is necessary. He promises to give all our needs. And with Him is grace for every situation and under every circumstance. The question is not whether the Lord is able to provide, That was not a question of that friend either. He was in need, and he considered his friend to be able and willing to help him out. And may the Lord grant this expectation in your heart for this coming season. We live in a completely different time than a few months ago. Everything in life has come uncertain. Some expectations need to be reviewed. Some plans cannot go as we thought. And yet God is even more than the friend in the parable who gave as many as were needed. He has promised His Holy Spirit, and He will give all we need for body and soul, for this lifetime and for eternity. The secret of God answering prayer is found in the Lord Jesus. There has been no man on earth with more expectation than the Lord Jesus. And He adopted our frailty, our human frame with all its weaknesses and limitations, though He was without sin. And yet He experienced to be in need of His Father's help. And therefore the Lord Jesus was always in prayer. So often we read that He went to the mount to pray. He went to His Father in prayer, since His only expectation was from Him. How did He wrestle in the Garden of Gethsemane, storming the throne of grace? His apostle says in Hebrews 5 verse 7 that He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared. His Father did not put Him to shame because of His Son's expectation. And yet, because the Lord Jesus took upon Him the guilt of His entire church, there was no answer when He suffered hell's agony. There was no answer when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was not because He had not enough expectation, not because He did not pray the right prayer. It was because He bore the wrath of God over sin. So that all those who have nothing to offer, who have nothing but guilt, who have forfeited all, can be heard. Only for Jesus' sake, your prayer can be heard. And at the same time, there is no better pleading ground. He's the only reason why you may have high expectation from God. Calvin says, "If among men importunity of asking extorts what a person would not willingly do, we have no reason to doubt that God will listen to us. God's goodness and mercy is higher, better, and of more splendor than of any man. We have no reason to doubt that God will listen to us when we persevere constantly in prayer. He will not let His people perish." Don't we read in Psalm 37, verse 25, "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, for his seed begging bread." The question tonight is whether we entrust our whole life to the Lord, both our body and soul. Our troublesome days expose our need for true comfort. By nature, we are in a terrible plight. The Lord is worthy to be feared, to be trusted. He will not send you away. He will not let you stand with empty hands. It pleases Him if you come to Him with boldness, with impudence, with holy shameless presumption, because He invites sinners to do so. You may call upon His name. "Thou, who in Jesus Christ offers thy friendship, Will thou look upon me in mercy and give me all I need for body and soul? You are blessed if you know of this practice, namely that you pour out your heart before the Lord with expectation. Do you insist with the Lord, like that man that came to his friend with his need? Do you persevere in prayer since you are in need? If you don't experience your need for prayer, then let this be your need. Beseech the Lord that He will open your eyes, that the Lord binds your need upon your heart so that you cannot but go out to the Lord. Lord, help! Lord, save me! Lord, will thou forgive? He hears prayer. That is His name. He calls us to pray. That is His demand, and at the same time His promise. His demand is His promise as well. He Himself says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. With His command, He gives His promise as well. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. So we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Thou art a God of springtime and harvest. We confess that we totally depend on Thee. And we come to Thee in prayer, since to whom shall we go? We are frail and vulnerable. We cannot maintain life, though we act so often as if we can. We cannot take care of ourselves, though we must confess that we so often act as if we are independent. And so we come to Thee as people who have nothing. Nothing to offer Thee that is pleasant in Thy holy eye. Nothing by which we can help ourselves. Nothing but guilt. And we confess that Thou art not obliged to provide our needs. We have forfeited every blessing. And in view of the present pandemic, we must confess that we deserve Thy judgments even more than we experience right now. We humble ourselves before Thee and we confess, if Thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? We have gone astray. We have been unfaithful. And Thou art warning us by Thy word, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. But also Thy gracious invitation have come to us. And we must confess that we often did not accept the invitation, that we are inclined to run away from Thee instead of seeking refuge under the shadow of Thy wings. O Lord, Thou art faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness. Thou art good for bad people, for sinners, for wretches. On the evening of this day, we come to Thee to pray Thy blessing for crops and industries. Thou art the source of life. Thou art life. And our life is in Thy hand. And we pray that Thou wouldst fill our daily need. Will Thou feed us with the abundance of the earth which proceed from Thy fatherly hand? We pray Thy blessing for the farmers who till the soil, plant the seed, tend the crops, and harvest. We pray thy blessing for agriculture, but also for the dairy farmers and cattle breeding. We pray that the livestock will multiply, that the fishing nets will be filled. We pray for our industry. We pray that all that is needed for production will be granted by thee. Will thou remember office workers? Protect those who are often on the road. We pray for healthcare workers, especially in our days when so much is demanded of them. Bless their efforts to fight the coronavirus. And so we pray to provide food and drink, shelter and health. Feed us with our daily bread. Will thou remember those who have less work or who are out of work right now? Our eyes are upon thee. And we beseech thee that thou wouldst provide, and that adversities will turn to our benefit. We pray to bless our children who are at home in these times. Bless the teaching provided by teachers and parents. Bless our children in doing their schoolwork. Give them the grace to be faithful and diligent. Remember the children who have a difficult time with learning. Will thou comfort them and give them the grace to struggle with their talents which thou hast given them? Bless our Rehoboth Christian School. We thank thee for the privilege of having Christian education for our children. And we pray that the situation in our country will change to the better so that the school can be opened again. We pray for our government and all those who are in a position of governing over people. Will thou give them wisdom, strength, and also insight, that they may serve our country, looking for what is best for every citizen? We pray that thou wouldst work in their hearts as well, so that they will repent from sin to thee. We also pray thy blessing upon our judicial system. Bless the courts, the judges, so that justice will prevail. We pray for the armed forces and police and emergency services. Will thou give that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, that thou art governing us through those who are over us? We pray to bless thy cause in this world. Bless our congregation. Bless the preaching of thy word, and apply thy word to our hearts. Bless the instruction given to our children will thou bless the Sunday school teachers? And will thou also remember our young people in catechism classes? Bless each society and committee of our church. And will thou give that the seed of thy word will fall in well-prepared soil? Will thou grant a revival, an awakening in our days? O awake, O north wind, and thou south, blow upon thy garden, that much fruit of repentance and faith will be found in our congregation. We pray thy blessing upon the labors of the consistory. Give the brothers wisdom and strength and enable them to their task. Work mightily in our midst, even now we cannot gather around thy word. Lord, keep us from getting used to this situation, but that we may humble ourselves before thee, day in, day out, beseeching thee to have mercy upon us. And Lord, who should not lament that the physical gathering of a congregation is not possible at this time? And yet we also give thee humble thanks for the technology by which we can listen alone, that we can use means by which the worship service is streamlined. But will thou also grant a desire of the psalmist in our heart, a day in thy court is better than a thousand. May our desires be upwards to the heavenly courts. We pray to bless our denomination, bless the various synodical committees. We pray to send out laborers into thy harvest. Bless our seminary in Grand Rapids. Bless the students, the teachers, the professors. We pray to remember thy persecuted church in North Korea, Iran, China, and many, many other countries. Remember thy covenant people Israel. Will thou remove the veil which is upon their hearts, so that they will acknowledge thee, Lord Jesus, as the promised Messiah who is in the throne of David. Lord, we live in an hostile world. We pray for this troubled world. There are many wars. There's much injustice. We pray for those who live in poverty, who are fleeing from violence or persecution. Bless emergency aid provided to those who are in great need, that food and drink can be distributed to them. And we pray that thou wouldst give each one of us in this season the grace, the spirit of grace and prayer. May we look to thee with expectation, that we cannot but storm thy throne of grace, like the friend in the parable, coming to thee with shameless presumption, there's much to pray for. And we have only mentioned a few things. Thou knowest our need, our physical, mental, financial, but above all, our spiritual need. We pray for thy most precious gift, the work of thy Spirit. Lord, will thou be merciful to us? And we pray along with Daniel, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, for Jesus' sake, in the forgiveness of all our sins. Amen.